Going through Matthew chapter by chapter, verse by verse, we're in chapter 13. Anyone need a Bible? I like a whole Bible, not just the Book of John. Does anyone need a whole Bible? And you can keep this Bible if you don't have one, by the way. Anyone need a Bible? Keep your hands up. Need a Bible? Anybody? So we're in Matthew chapter 13, verse 31. We're going to read two verses, and then we're going to skip down about 12 verses and read another two. Chapter 13, there's seven different parables. And verse 31 starts like this. Jesus said, it says here, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Verse 33, we'll continue there actually, just this next verse. Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until it was all leavened. Now go down, please, to verse 44. There's three verses here. Jesus continues again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. Lord, it's my prayer that I would walk out of this room treasuring you more than when I came in. Lord, I thank you that doesn't have to stop ever in a man or woman's life, no matter how much they grow in treasuring. But I pray for that, Lord, for myself, that I would walk out of this room treasuring you more than I ever have in my life. I pray for every man and woman in this room as well. Lord, that they would walk out of this room treasuring you as they've never treasured you before, or on a path to treasure you in that way. We read, Lord, that the kingdom of heaven is like a man seeking beautiful pearls, that you would, there's men and women in this room, Lord, that need to start that path of seeking you, the beautiful pearl, the beautiful Savior, the beautiful Lord, the Lord that has joy for us, Lord that loves us more than anyone has any capacity to ever love us. The Lord who loves us, that you would put them on the path of seeking you, Lord. So that indeed they would reach that point, Lord, where they would gladly sell everything they have and give up everything they have to have more of you. Lord, help me with this message. I pray that you be with my beautiful bride and down in Florida, Lord. Bless her, speak to her. I thank you so much, Lord. chapter. That state, Florida, has thousands of churches, including one in Umatilla, Florida, where she is right now. And just pray that she receives there and everyone in that church. And as well, the churches in this city. Pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Okay, so if you could just keep your Bible there in Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to be talking today mostly about seed. We've been talking the last 2 weeks about soil. This chapter is about soil and seeds. It begins in verse 3. Of this chapter, verse 3, at the end of verse 3. This is Jesus speaking, and he's speaking to you and me. He says, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them." Now, if you could skip down to verse 24. Says another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field." Now go down all the way to verse 38. Jesus explains that what that means. He says, "The field is the world. The good seed are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one." So now backtrack a little and go to verse 31. This is where we began this morning. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." And then verse 33, we'll stop there for now. It says another parable he spoke to them, "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven," which is yeast, "which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, until it was all leavened." So the last 2 Sundays, we've talked a lot about soil. The soil that makes the seed able to have such a powerful effect as what we're reading here. It says again in verse 23 that seed gets in a certain kind of soil and it sprouts up 100, 60, or 30. In verse 31, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. The seed is so powerful, it says, a man took it and sowed it in his field, and even though it was the least of all the seeds, when it's grown, it's greater than the herbs and becomes a tree. And then the next verse, verse 33, "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven." Leaven is, it's not a seed, is in the kingdom of plants. Leaven is yeast, it's in the kingdom of fungi. But really it's the same thing, really, really small. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until it was all leavened." In other words, just picture a piece of dough and there was just rising of the dough. By the way, 3 measures of meal is a lot. There's like a big piece of bread there. And so, We talked the last couple of weeks of what you need to do to get the soil of your heart in the place that when the seed hits it, or yeast, that you'll be able to see this kind of spectacular growth. This is nothing short of spectacular and miraculous, what we're reading in this chapter. And so it's important, if you weren't here the last couple of weeks, to go listen to those messages, but it's a piece of what we talked about in order to, what you have to do to the soil of your heart. Hosea 10 verse 12 says this, you need to break up your ground, your soil. You need to break it up. The Bible says, for it's time to seek the Lord. The soil of your heart gets broken up when you're seeking the Lord until he comes and he rains righteousness on you. And again, we talked about how you break up the soil of your heart. A lot of that depends on what you do with your free time. Very important. Get that message from a couple weeks ago. But we also talked about this. Especially appropriate on the day of a fast. Many of us are fasting here. Going without food. Going without social media. Going without sex. Or whatever pleasures that the Lord has given us. The Bible says Jesus is the prime example, but Moses, Elijah, many of them fasted. Paul, Silas. They take a time to just put aside all these the pleasures of life and seek the Lord. And you know, there's some time between now and tonight, 6 p.m., taking some time and putting away, even if you haven't been fasting, putting away whatever it is that you usually do. You open up your Bible to what I think is the most important verse of the whole Bible. And that's what? Anyone remember? It's my opinion, but Isaiah 53, verse 5, which says, he, speaking of Jesus, was pierced because of our transgression, was crushed because of our iniquities. The punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. So how do you break up the hard soil of your heart? Now, I know some of you got hard soil this morning. I know some of you in this room, you have hard soil that needs to be broken up. And how do you do that? Well, you do it by laying everything aside and you take this verse and you pray through it. Can we have the next piece? And this is right here. This is Isaiah 53:5. It's broken down. And you go to the Lord and it says at the beginning of Isaiah 53:5, it says, for our transgressions he was pierced. Lord, show me. Show me. I have whatever. I put aside the food. I'm putting aside the football. I'm putting aside the sexual intimacy. I'm putting aside the social media, all of which, by the way, are good things given by God in their proper context. But I put them aside, and I just want you to show me. Show me my transgression, because I have a hard heart. I don't have feelings for you, God. I don't have the kind of feelings for you that are described by of some people in the Bible. Show me my transgressions and what you paid for my transgressions. You were pierced to show me that to me, Lord. Next line, my iniquities. Iniquities is that inclination to sin. The Bible says you have an inclination from sin. And during a time of fast, you don't need any fast. You can just go to the Lord. Show me that inclination I have to sin. And buckle your seatbelt, because he's going to show you some ugly stuff. But when, as he shows you that ugly stuff, you go to the next part, crushed, which means iniquities, crushed. He was crushed for your iniquities. What is that referring to? That's talking about the punishment of God for your inclination to sin, crushed Jesus Christ. And then as you continue your time, you reflect on the peace. Any peace. Any measure of peace that the Lord has given you. And thank him for it. Thank God for the peace that he has shown you in your life. You may have none now. You may be like the psalmist who said, in the multitude of anxieties, restore my soul, please, God. You may have no peace, but I think everyone in this room, I know everyone, you remember that time of peace. Well, you got to know this. The Bible says, Isaiah 53:5, your peace was purchased by Jesus being punished by you on the cross. Your peace was purchased. And then the last thing, healing. The healing. And just, again, you've put your pleasures aside. You've put whatever is aside that you regularly do. If you've been fasting, you've put food aside. And you say, Lord, would you show me how I have been healed? It is beyond the description of words, the depth, the level of the healing of the blood of Jesus, what it has done to your soul. The Bible says of a man or woman who just by faith accepts Jesus into their heart, it says every sin, every single thought that's sinful, everything you've done has been cleansed and you are now perfect before the Father with the perfection of Christ. Doesn't mean you're going to stop sinning, but Jesus' righteousness, his goodness, has been credited to your account, and you've been healed of that disease called sin, which leads only to death and hell. So that's the short version of where we have been in the last week or two, of how to break up your soil so when the seed enters in, something spectacular can happen. So we've talked a lot about the soil, but I want to talk now about the seed. Again, in verse 23. He who has received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word of and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. And verse 31 says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Sorry, I skipped over verse 24. It says the kingdom of heaven, back in verse 24. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. Verse 33 says the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. It's slightly different than seed, but it's the same idea. What is this seed? Well, the seed can be described like this supremely. We saw in the last couple of weeks, verse 19, for example, Jesus speaking, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, so it's the word of God. The seed is the word of God. Again, verse 3 says, behold, a sower went out to sow. The word of God, the seed, the word of God is being distributed, sowed. And the Bible says, the spectacular growth that a tiny little mustard seed sprouts up into a huge tree, that a tiny piece of leaven of yeast goes into a big loaf of bread, a seed actually gets into your heart and it sprouts up fruit 30, 60, 100. So what's in the seed? What is in this word of God? Well, the Bible says that in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that the word of God is alive and it's active. But the seed is not just the seed that sprouts up. And it's like a mustard seed, and it just turns into a gigantic, you know, not a gigantic tree. Mustard trees are only about 10 to 12 feet tall, but it goes up, and it says the seed is actually the word of God combined with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the God-designed, Jesus-designed engineer for your soul of that word of God. And so we read in John 16, verse 14, Jesus says this, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, says this, for our gospel means, what does gospel mean? Good news. For our good news did not come to you in word only. So the seed is not just the word. The Holy Spirit's implanted in you. He is the engineer with a capital E, who takes the word, says it doesn't come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit. And pretty soon, what's a tiny little mustard seed will grow up into a tree, a very strong one, more on that later, or a seed will grow up into fruit, 30, 60, 100. Seed's so powerful. It's the word of God with the Holy Spirit as the engineer taking that word and bringing life to your soul, life that after it's in you, it is reproduced in the life of others around you. So again, in verse 31, another parable, let's read it together again, another parable he put forth to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which is indeed the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Verse 33, another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until it was all leavened. In other words, went from a little lump of dough to a large piece of bread. Now, these 3 verses, there's a teaching in there about the Word of God with the Holy Spirit as an engineer being spread to the entire world. That's not where we're going to be this morning. That's next week. This week, I'm going to start with where that all begins. It begins with you. It begins with you, the seed. Verse 31, kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed getting into the soil of your heart. The word of God gets into your heart with the Holy Spirit acting as an engineer, begins to cause growth and change in your life. Provided you're tilling the soil. Last 2 weeks' sermons. Really, those two sermons really build on this. This sermon won't make as much sense. It may even be discouraging to you if you don't first listen to those other two sermons. But the seed gets into your heart, and it causes growth and change in your heart. Your desires begin to change because of this seed with the Holy Spirit engineer causing growth and change in your life. Your desires begin to change. You develop a thirst for God, a hunger for God, a love for God. Your eyes change. What you look at with your eyes starts to change. The choices of what you look at, your choices start to change. How you see with your eyes, people you once despised, you begin to look at differently. People who you once ignored, or could care less about. That seed with the engineer Holy Spirit doesn't let you just look at them the same way anymore. People who you once idolized, you no longer idolize. People who you once envy, you no longer envy. When the Word of God gets into the soil of your heart with the Holy Spirit who dwells in you, acting as an engineer, you get new eyes. Your ears change. What you listen to with your ears changes. The choices of what you listen to change. How you listen with your ears change. Things you used to listen to with delight, gossip or criticism or whatever, rag sessions on a podcast, arguments, you're now grieved by them. And you stop listening to them. You begin listening to the Word of God, which was something that formerly you just put up with. Your dad is talking about the Bible again. Is now something that you crave, you thirst for, you hunger for. You actually get up early for. You actually, in your free time, read or listen to. You turn on the audio Bible, and you listen to. When the Word of God gets into the soil of your heart, the Holy Spirit acting as an engineer, you get new ears. You also get a new tongue. Words of peace replace words of war. Words to build up replace words to tear down. Words to praise God replace words to praise self. To praise self. To praise self. We know that's so good. But with the Holy Spirit acting as an engineer, using the Word of God, your tongue will begin to praise God. And then the sheer volume of your words, the volume, how many words come out of your mouth, eventually cuts in half or more. The Holy Spirit, acting as the engineer with the Word of God, the seed begins to change you. Your desires begin to change. You develop a thirst for God, a hunger for God. You develop a love for God until one day. You ready for this? Until one day. This is the best news you're going to hear all year. Or you've heard all year. This year's about to end. Until one day you become, verses 44 through 46. It's an absolute promise for every single believer in Jesus Christ. Verse 44 says this of chapter 13. This is what you become eventually. what that seed started with the Holy Spirit of as an engineer, you keeping the soil of your heart grounded up, last 2 weeks' sermons, you become, verse 44, what Jesus describes here again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. When he had found one pearl of great price, he went out and sold all that he had, and he bought it. This is a promise for every single one of you. Every single one of you. To get to that place in your life where you would trade anything for more of Jesus Christ. Or you would, anything you have, you would trade it away for more of them. There's many people in this room who know exactly what I've talking about right now, because you're there. But if that doesn't describe you, then I know there's many in this room that it does not describe. It is a promise of the Lord, a promise, a path that leads you to become. Verses 44 through 46. The man, the woman who sell everything you have for more of God, for more of Jesus Christ. And it all started with seed that the Lord puts in your heart. The word of God that has been placed by the Lord into the soil of your heart. The Holy Spirit acting as an engineer has gotten you to the place where you realize there's nothing in all the world like Jesus Christ. Verse 44 says again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. Verse 45 says again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. What is the kingdom of God? Been talking about it in the book of Matthew. Anyone want to shout it out? What's the easiest way to get your mind around what the kingdom of God is? What is it? What? I didn't hear. It's treasure. Okay, that's good. It's Jesus Christ himself. That's the kingdom of heaven. That's the kingdom of God. By the way, when you see the distinction between those two terms, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, they're interchangeable. There's no difference between them. Kingdom of God is Jesus Christ. We saw in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus' first sermon in public, first words he ever gave in public. What were they? The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Meaning, the kingdom of God is upon you. Meaning what? I am upon you, Jesus Christ. So when, again, it says in verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven Jesus Christ is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man finds and he hides. And for the joy over it, he's gotten to the place where he knows he's just so much joy. Why? Because he can buy that, because he can have more of Jesus Christ. And he sells everything he has to get more of Jesus Christ. Same thing in the next verse with the beautiful pearl. It says he went out, he found one pearl of great price, and he sold all that he had to get it. There's nothing in all the world like Jesus Christ. There's nothing at all like living in the kingdom of God, living in the presence of God. Again, last week we put up the verse in Romans chapter 7, it says that when a man or woman is presented with the truth of Jesus Christ, that he lived for them, died for them, and rose again for them, and they believe what he did for them and say, yes, I'm done. I'm doing a change of ownership here, God. I no longer own myself. I recognize you're the Lord. You're the owner. You own me. The Bible says immediately, the Holy Spirit, not a moment before, but at that moment, the Holy Spirit enters and begins this process of breaking up the soil and taking the seed and turning it into something spectacular. And the more you grow, because the Holy Spirit acting as an engineer, the Word of God, the more that seed, the more you grow, the more you crave Jesus Christ. Until one day you become, verses 44 through 46. Now, let me explain a little bit more what I mean here. What does the heart of every man and woman crave for? Every human being. What do their hearts crave for? I would say submit two things. And everything else is like in a thousandth place. And that's not an easy word. A thousandth place. They crave two things. Every man and woman. Number one, love. Love. I want to be loved. I want to be loved. Is the cry of every human being's heart and life. The Bible says in John 13, verse 1. Do we have that, Winley? It's not in red. John 13, verse 1 says this, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. That's you. That is you. He loves you to the end. It's the one thing every human heart craves, to be loved. Believe me, as a pastor who I'm in counseling all week. Why? People want to be loved. Jesus says, John 13, verse 1, he loves you to the end. Number two, what does every human being crave? Joy. Bible says, joy. I want joy. I'm done with this depression, this discouragement. I want joy. I want happiness. Is the cry of every human heart. That's why $1 zillion is spent every year in this country on antidepressant medication and therapists and all kinds of other stuff. There is an alternative. Jesus Christ. Is that true? He's the source of all joy? The Bible says, we'll get to it eventually, Matthew 25. You know what, when you die and go to be to the Lord, what are the first words that your going to hear. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Are the first words that you are going to hear. Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 11, he says, all things, just right before he's arrested and crucified, this is what he's talking about. All these things I've spoken to you, John 15, verse 11, he says, so that my joy may live in you and that your joy may be full. Every human being creates two things, love and joy. Jonathan Edwards says the language of heaven is two things, love and joy. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in, yes, heaven, where there's love and joy. Verse 44 says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. John Piper, the well-known author and preacher, he tells a story which was shared with him by a pastor friend about a woman in his pastor friend's church. The woman was in her 50s, and she was in the hospital with her husband, also in his 50s, and he's about to die of cancer. He's hours away. And there's people coming in and out of the hospital room. And the woman, with her husband, hours away from dying, his body racked with cancer, absolutely no doubt he's probably half or a third of the weight he was, his body shriveled up. And his wife is there, and I believe it's the wife's sister, became angry with her. And the wife's sister came to her and said, how can you be so radiant, so full of joy with this happening, with death racking your husband? And she responded, my husband and you and me deserve hell. In a few hours, he's going to be in heaven. That's why I'm radiant. That's why I'm filled with joy. My wife is in Florida right now. She's with her mother. When Steffi and I were dating a long time ago, 40 years, she had Steffi when she was 19. She was in her late 30s, early 40s. We got married early. This woman got up every morning, 5 a.m. because she treasured the Word of God. And you wonder, you know, why is Stephanie such a blessing? That's why. Because someone had arrived, and yes, you can arrive there by your early 40s. You can arrive there by your early 20s. Because there were someone, mainly her mother, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for the joy over it goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. She was that woman. And 2 years ago, next week, 2 years ago, I saw my mother-in-law with her husband, whose body had been destroyed by a rare bacterial infection. The Vibrio virus usually kills people within 24 hours, 48 hours. My father-in-law had He lived his whole life treasuring everything but the Lord. Treasured fishing. Ironically, it happened. He contracted the Vibrio while he was fishing. He treasured his career. He treasured investments. It's a long story. He came back to life. Stephanie went down there, started sharing with him the Word of God. He survived. There was black splotches all over his back, all over his body. It's just a terrible, that whole Vibrio thing. Yeah. And the flesh-eating bacteria, I'm sorry, that's what it's called, Vibrio, the flesh-eating bacteria. And her dad was wonderfully converted. I'll never forget the time where he called and said, Stephanie, I just finished the whole Bible. Now that would have been, you just don't know him. That's like the Twilight Zone. You have got to be kidding me. But I remember her mother, Stephanie's mother, just 2 years ago, sitting next to that body. And I don't remember a single tear. There was just joy in her. Now I'm not at all, this is not a sermon against weeping when your loved one is dying. And you'll see me weeping if he takes one of my loved ones. I'm virtually certain. But she was an example of someone who treasured the reality of heaven more than anything else in her life. And oh, how she was a witness for his glory. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up at this time. Getting to the place in your life, if you've been asked to pray, if you could keep, if you could come up. If you could rise for the closing worship song. Getting to the place in your life where you would sell everything you have to have more of Jesus Christ. It's real. And that's where the joy is found. That's where the love is found. Do we have people up here to pray? Can we have the folks who have been asked to pray come up at this time? The path to the place where there's infinite joy and infinite love that will never be denied you. Jesus says to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, "The water I give you will never run dry." He never denies joy. He never denies love, although sometimes the road there, even after you have reached the place that you'd give anything in your life for God, sometimes it'll take a little while. He never denies it. But it all starts with you coming to the place in your life where you recognize that you are a sinner. You're a transgression. And just like it says in Isaiah, can we have Isaiah 53 again, Wendley? And just like it says in Isaiah, like it says, he was pierced because of our transgressions. You have transgression. You have sin in your life. What is sin? It is the opposite of love. Sin is an act in which it defies God instead of loves God. The ultimate act of defiance, we see in Genesis chapter 3, and every single person, every one of you in this room has fallen victim to, it's when you're tempted by the devil and he tells you, you can be in control of your life. It's fine keeping God as a piece of your life, but he doesn't have to have the whole control of your life. You can be in control of your life. The Bible says that when Eve heard that, it says she liked what she heard and she ate of that fruit. And then she gave it to her husband, he ate it, and every single one of us since, we come out of our mother's womb pushing God aside and taking control. But when you get to the place in your life where you give up control, you say, I'm done with the control. I've only made misery of my life. I'm going to give Jesus Christ the control of my life, believing that he lived for me. He died on the cross for my transgressions, my sins. He was pierced because of my transgression, crushed. He took the punishment of God because of my inclination to do bad stuff. It's a simple prayer of faith. You ask God to come into your life, and the Holy Spirit comes in and puts you on the path to infinite joy and infinite love. Now, I would say that is an incredible deal. And if you've never done that in your life, I'd like you to come up and pray with me or someone else who is in the front. Or anything else you want to come up and pray about. We've talked about getting to the place in your life. And I know this speaks of someone where you would sell anything you have because of the joy you already have in you of knowing you're going to get more of Jesus Christ. If you want prayer over that process. Come up now as we're worshiping. God, we thank you in Jesus' name for this time. Let's finish the work that you started in us. Okay, you can come up at this time. I also want to remind you, we're continuing this worship service tonight at 6 p.m.